And we want to talk about how people need the Lord and what we can do about that this morning. And so our text is a time when Peter talked about this. Peter, who was one of Jesus' fishermen, right? Who was in the boat when Jesus said, lower down your nets for a catch. And then later Jesus said to him, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. So later, as he was writing a letter, this is what he wrote. 1 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for Peter, for his witness, for how he followed you, and how he now encourages us to be prepared to tell others. Lord, help us to get to that point. You need to work in our lives, and you can begin right now by teaching us, leading us, and inspiring us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I had a very embarrassing moment this week. Very, very embarrassing. I had heard news that when I was away on vacation in July, that there was a young family that visited our church with two boys, and I was just delighted. And I said, oh, where do they live? And I got a variety of different messages about where they live, and I know the house very well. And so I went and knocked on the door, and I said, hey, I'm the pastor of the Baptist church down here, and I heard that you came and visited us. And they go, no, we have not been to your church. And I said, okay, it's the white church right down here on the corner. You know, I just was scrambling for something. You know, the corner of Back Meadow and Center Street here. And they go, no, we have visited no churches in the area. So what do in such an awkward moment as that? I left them one of our little brochures or flyers here. There's some on the back there if you would like to go or if you have friends or neighbors, it's better to do it with people you know. But I wanted to know them, and I wanted to get to know them, and I don't think I did. It was a very short visit. So was I in the wrong place or the wrong time? Maybe God had something in mind. Maybe he knew that they needed a visit. And maybe, you know, they'll look at this later and say, oh, game night. We can take the kids there or something. Who knows? Pray for them and pray for our community. Do you feel a little bit awkward sometimes when you have opportunities to talk about Jesus? And how do you get into that conversation? What do you say? That's one thing I want to talk about this morning. And I'm doing this all in context of our worship series, a summer faith lift, because one thing I hear over and over when Christians tell me, hey, I had a chance to talk about Jesus to someone, they just tell about how they feel buoyed, how they feel strong in the Lord, how they're just radiant and beaming. It just seems to be one of those things that when you talk to somebody else about Jesus, you're going to have a blessing that you will not be able to account for. It's just an otherworldly kind of a blessing, just a faith lift, if you will. The Bible doesn't talk about this, that if you are a fisher of men, you will have a faith lift or anything like that, but it just seems to be something that I hear more and more. So how can we do that? How can we tell people about Jesus? Based on these verses, there are three suggestions that I have for you, and one is to get ready, to ready yourself for God's opportunities. Secondly, to be able to relate your hope to others. And then lastly, to reveal your love to others too as you speak. So those are the three suggestions I have for you. And I also have some very practical conversation starters that are printed for you on the tan sheet in your bulletin. And that's what we're going to be going over today. I want you to have something that you can take home that's tangible, that you can say, yeah, that's something I can do. So, first of all, ready yourself for God's opportunities. Peter says there in verse 15, always be prepared. And that is because, and I hope you believe this, that we believe God is alive and real in our community and our world. He loves people. He is working in their lives, and he is going to be doing things, so you need to be ready. It's not like he died a long time ago. You know, he's still alive today, in August 2017, and he is doing things in this community, so you need to be prepared and ready to talk to somebody. Here are some things that you can say. I want to go over this insert for you. The first of all, first thing that you can do is to pray for somebody. Because probably what's going to happen is if you have somebody in your family or a neighbor, there might be an occasion for them to talk to you about a need that they have. Goodness knows relationships, many relationships are in trauma right now. People have health needs. We've talked about those. And you're going to have somebody share that with you at some point in time. Why not say to them, may I pray for you right now? Okay? So not like, I'll go and run to my pastor and get him to do it, but may I pray for you right now? And with gentleness and respect, if they say, yeah, okay, then just say a prayer with them right then and there. It doesn't have to be complex. It doesn't have to be involved. It doesn't have to be theologically correct. But say something like this. It's printed for you there in the bulletin. Lord, my friend Stephanie needs you right now. Be merciful and powerful in her life. And help her to make sense of this traumatic relationship that she's in. Help her to accept and be grateful for any answer that you might give to our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. That's just a suggestion. You can just say, Lord, be with Stephanie, amen. Whatever you want to say. Some way, bringing them into the presence of God. Now, why would you do something like that? Why would you do something like that? One is that you're communicating love for them, that you care enough about them to pray. And secondly, you are demonstrating what we believe, that God is alive and active and that you are connecting with him and asking his intervention. We talked about his interference in our lives last week. He's there. And I can assure you that for many people in our community, that might be the only prayer that they'll hear for years and years. And you have just pulled them into the presence of God, showed them that you love them, and that you believe there's somebody out there that's listening. That can be a revolutionary thing for sure. Then check back with your friend after a week or two or three and say, hey, I prayed for you. How are things going? Well, I'll still keep praying for you. Something like that. So bring them into God's presence through a prayer. Now, I want to say, as we go through these practical suggestions, these are all things that I have done, or that I know other pastors or friends that do these things as well. So I'm not trying to dream up some crazy little ideas for you to do. These are things that I do, that I know others do, and that have worked, that have started conversations about Jesus. The second one right there, too. You're probably going to be in a conversation at some point about the problems in our world or the problems in our community. So why not ask them, what do you think our community or town really needs? What do you think is the solution to the world's problems today? And goodness knows you're going to hear all kinds of answers. All kinds of unusual answers. And with gentleness and respect, you want to listen to those. You want to hear from them, because they're going to be talking about something they deeply believe more than likely. Maybe they'll ask you after you ask them, what do you think is the answer to the world's problems today? Or maybe you can push that door open a little bit more and share some of what you feel. And this could lead to a conversation about spiritual needs, because I hope you're with me on this. There's nothing that people need more than the Lord right now. That is something they really need. We can throw money at problems. We can elect different leaders or re-elect leaders, or we can, you know, change the budget of our township or whatever. But the number one thing that people need is to get back with the man who made all of this and who got it all started and who gave his own life for it, our Lord Jesus Christ. The third thing that you could share, and this isn't in your bulletin there, is just to talk about the beauty of creation around us. Goodness knows we live in a God-drenched, God-kissed corner of His creation, right?
Amen.
All right? Thank you for that amen. And just ask somebody, where do you think all this beauty came from? What is it here for? That is one thing that can really get people thinking, yeah, why is the world so beautiful? You know, I'm sure if I had created the world, I would have a little green bush and a nice blue puddle right beside it. That would be all that I could have dreamed of. Right? But look at this. And then say, you know, I believe that this was made by somebody who loves us and wants to bless us. And who even gave his life that it might all be made whole, right? The Bible says, for God so loved the world. And the Greek word there is everything. He loves everything and gave his life for that. And certainly for people's spiritual needs as well. The second thing that I think Peter is pointing us to is that hope there. Okay, so still in verse 15, he says, be prepared. But he gets a little specific, to give an answer to everyone who asks you. So see, this is that conversation that we're talking about. Why do you have hope? What is the reason for the hope that you have? So that last one there on your little insert is to ask somebody, do you feel hopeful about the future? How about your own future? Are you hopeful about your future? What gives you the most hope for the future? And listen to them with gentleness and respect and love again as they talk about what makes them feel hopeful. And then maybe they'll ask you, how about you? Where does your hope come from? Or maybe you can just tell them, well, I think that, and I have there a just in quotes, something that you might consider saying, but whatever you want to do to put it in your own words, but something like this. I believe in a living and powerful God who made this world a good place. He will not tolerate how we have screwed things up. God will, in the future and in His time, remake our world the good place that He always wanted it to be. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. He is coming again. He will not tolerate sin. He will purify it all and remake it all. And that is the best hope that there is. I'm not sorry. I think that is the best message that anybody can offer. That the man who made this, the God who created it all, is not going to just say, oh God, you guys really screwed things up. He is coming back. He's going to remake it all. He will make us new creatures. His down payment on that, his testimony, his goodness. The resurrection tells us that that's going to happen because Jesus came out of that tomb, a new man, and He has shown us that He can make things new, and He will make us new as well. So ask somebody, okay, what makes you hopeful? And be ready, as Peter says here, to give witness to that hope. May I say the best for last? Okay? Peter says there, but. this is the hard part. But do this with gentleness and respect. I was talking to a man just a few weeks ago who was talking to me about how he felt like there was energy in the world. And when we die, this energy goes back to God. And I was like, oh my gosh, what are we going to say to that? But based on what the Bible says, you have to be gentle. You have to respect people and what they believe. This comes from the core of their very being. And it is important to them, and it is important to God. And what Peter is talking about here is just be loving to somebody else. And I want any time you share Jesus with somebody else, for them to see love in you, for them to see Jesus in you. If they have not, you need to go back to the drawing board. That's all he is saying here. And we say so often, don't we, that it's not so much what you say, but how you say it. So I've given you a little bit of what you can say here. And I hope it's helpful. It's on a separate sheet, so you can tuck it into your Bible or put it beside your nightstand, okay? But just as important is how you say that. And goodness knows Christians get a lot of rap about not being very loving, right? Some of that is not deserved criticism, but sometimes it is. You know the story of the Hermit of Manana? Raise your hand if you know the story of the Hermit of Manana. This is a main story. No? Oh, one? Two? The hermit that lived off of Montagu Island? Okay. Oh, now it's coming back to you. Okay, so Ray Phillips got tired of New York City, imagine that, and came to Maine, imagine that, and decided that he would just live on a little outcropping of rocks and grass just off of Monhegan Island, Manana Island it's called. And he lived there as the Hermit of Manana for years and years and died there. And Reverend Bobby Ives performed his funeral and so on. Reverend Ives, who's the minister of Monhegan Island, was on a ferry once going over to Monhegan and found a Christian who was there, probably known by his big Bible and so on. And he said, oh, you're going over to Monhegan? And this Christian coming over from Rockland said, yes, I'm going over there to save the souls of the people on Monhegan. They need Jesus. And Reverend Ives didn't tell him that he was the minister at all, but just said, oh, that's very interesting. I'm sure that's needed. Well, when he got off of them, they both got off of the ferry onto Monhegan Island, who should be there on the wharf, but the hermit of Manana, and if you can imagine a hermit, you know, he's not really interested in the way he looks or how long his hair is or how long his beard is. So this well-meaning Christian fellow goes right up to him. Here's a soul that needs Jesus, right? And ask the hermit, are you saved? And the hermit says, well, I'm not rightly sure if I am or not, but I know my roof needs saving. If you'll come over to my island and help save my roof, then maybe you can save my soul too. And so what did the Christian say? He's more about the content, right? He says, oh no, I'm here to save souls. I don't have time for your roof. And the hermit said to him, if you don't have time to save my roof, you probably don't have time to save my soul either. And the hermit turned and walked away. Moral of the story? Let's get out there and get up on people's roofs? No. The moral of the story is, and the hermit nailed it really, is that you've got to show this by your actions and not just your words. Okay? People are going to be looking at how you live your life, the way that you help them, and that may be the best sermon that you could ever preach to somebody else. It's the way that you live your life. And that's what Peter is saying here. Do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their sin. Now, if you are out in the community and trying to share Christ in whatever way you do, I love your stories. Please share them with me, okay? And if I don't hear back from you, you know what I'm going to still believe? Is that all creation is going to be declaring God's glory. God is not silent. There is no end to His witness, and His glory will be known. And there are plenty of witnesses, plenty of preachers out there. But you can really make a difference. And that's what our closing hymn says, okay? That last one there in your bulletin, it will be our closing song, number 3 in your green hymnal, All the Heavens Declare. Let's stand and join with all creation and declare.